So we're looking at responsibility. Now you've chosen me to do that. Well, perhaps one of the most irresponsible people I've ever met. Well, I've met myself. 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14 says this. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. So let me ask you a question first. Show of hands. Put your hands up so I know who my target audience is. Who feels that they are in a position of responsibility? Okay, good. Now let me ask you another question. I'll show of hands. Put your hands up if right at this moment your heart is beating. No, but I'm just going to hesitate. Yeah. In some way, shape, or form, we all have responsibilities. And that's the fact. I'm part of the church speaker team. I'm the new boy. I'm not that, you never know. So I have a responsibility to the church leaders. I have a responsibility to you too. But I'm also a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grampy. I love being a grampy. I'm a son, I'm a friend, and I'm an employee. And all of these carry some form of responsibility in some way, shape, or form. And many of you have similar responsibilities too. It isn't just leaders, it isn't just politicians or managers or even new kings. It's both you and me. So when we consider responsibility, what does the Bible say? Next slide, please. Philippians 2 verse 3 says this. It's in the Amplified version. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous, regard others as more important than yourselves. I'd like to say that responsibility is more to do with how we deal with people in respect, caring, and a generous way, rather than just telling people what to do. Okay? So firstly, next slide. With whatever responsibility that we have, and that includes just the responsibility of being caring friends towards each other here in the church, and in our communities and in our homes, do your best and find the right motivation. Colossians 3 helps us here. Next slide, please. Colossians 3, verse 23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as a reward, and that the master you're serving is Christ. The master you're serving is Christ. Do your best and find your best motivation. Can I just say, whatever we do, the best motivation must be for us as Christians is that we're doing it for God, mustn't it? In everything we do, I'm doing it for you, Jesus. I think there's a song there somewhere, isn't there? Is there not? Yeah, I think there is. Now that's anything. Now that's leading a church, it's being part of a home group. What about doing the ironing? Yes. I love ironing, by the way. I love ironing. But I hate shopping. So I can shop for Jesus. And I'm not being flippant there. But if my attitude is, I'm doing this for Jesus, and not just because I have to do it, that changes how I feel. You know when you're driving along in the car, and the kids in the back say, I'm there yet, yeah, I'm there yet, yeah, I'm there yet. Yeah. Yeah. When I go shopping with Linda, have we finished it? Because my motivation isn't really. My motivation is, I just want to get back home, thank you very much. Going to work in the morning, taking the kids to school, doing your homework. Whatever it is, don't do it for yourself, or for your husband or wife, or your church leaders, or your kids or your parents. Find the motivation for whatever you're doing, because I want to do this for Jesus. And I want to give it my really, really best. It sounds like a cliche, doesn't it? But when you look at it, what wouldn't you do for someone who's given you everything? Forgiveness, freedom in life. If we can't be grateful to God, who can we be? So tomorrow, when the alarm goes off, and you put the kettle on, today, I'm doing it for Jesus. Secondly, next slide, what is our responsibility, or our attitudes towards responsibility? We see if James just puts the next slide up, Matthew 20. But Jesus called them all together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world will lord it over their people, and officials will flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you," here we go, "among you, it will be different." But it should be. But it might be. But it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave. I know John spoke about being a slave a few months ago. You know, there can be this thought, either when we take responsibility or we act responsible, I'm the boss, I'm the daddy, I'm in control. The Bible shows us a much different attitude. We should be first and foremost servant-hearted. And you know, that's what attracts me to this church. I see the servant-heartedness of Lou and John, and of others that I've come across here. We mentioned Chris, didn't we, just a few moments ago, in and out, rain or shine, putting the chairs out so we can just walk in and sit down. You see, it's not about being important. It's not about being well thought of. It's about humility, about service, about giving rather than receiving. Philippians 2 says this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out just for your own interests, but for the interests, or take an interest in others too. So the Bible reinforces and delves a little bit deeper by encouraging us that in our responsibilities, no matter what those responsibilities are, whether we're leading a country, whether we're leading a church, or whether we're part of a home, there's no distinction about those responsibilities. Think of others and their interests more than ours. Now, it's not saying I don't value myself. I don't want us to get into this thing where, you know, I am nothing and everybody is something. It's putting it in the right place. Thinking of others first. Now, Joe's going to put up a slide. This is from my old brethren days. Joy. Do you remember Joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You may be a titter at that, but I was in my 70s and 80s growing up as a young Christian. You remember that? Yeah. But it was so right, wasn't it? We get so wrapped up in self-centeredness of life now that I mean, it must be all about me. The world must revolve around me. I remember a little while ago, I was having lunch with Nell, who's my granddaughter. She's only 7. Yes, I can. Have to check. And she was going on about something again. And when Nell plays a game, I hope this isn't going live. When Nell plays a game, she always has to win, always has to be in her rules. So I said to her, Nell, the world doesn't revolve around you. And she said, it should. She's as fun as a grumpy, I think. You know, being responsible isn't, you know, too, just the domain of those of us who, should we say, more experienced in life. Old years. Like me, wonky and battered around the edges. but young people too. Let's not forget, young people have responsibilities too. Those energetic young people. You know, God takes a particular inclusive view of young people, doesn't he? 1 Timothy 4 says, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity." You know, we have a bad habit, those of us who are old, but we are a bit disparaging of young people. It's easy to complain, "Oh, you haven't got enough experience, you need to grow up." And so we put them down. Well, Joseph was probably 17 when he was sold as a slave, and only in his late 30s. But his brothers came to him for grain. Rachel was probably in her 20s when she married Jacob. Joseph, as I said, was just a young lad. David was in his teens when he killed Goliath. Doesn't matter about age, does it? We can all show responsibility. So we've looked at what responsibility is and what it's not. It's not lording it over people, but it's treating people with kindness, care and respect. It's about finding your right motivation. It's about doing the best with the responsibilities. Do you know what? I really hate at work doing a half-hearted job. Do you ever get that? I hate it. I'd rather not start a job if I know I can't complete it. I'm a bit of a pain on that. As Linda will tell you, getting home later and later and later because I've got to finish this job. We've got to find our right motivations. Our right motivations is in Jesus, doing our best for him. But how can we act responsibility in a responsible way? How can we act in a responsible way? Next slide, Jonathan. We've got these game before me now, that's good. Firstly, we need to understand how God views us. I think that's very important in this day and age, that we understand how God views us. Next slide says, Isaiah 43, "You are precious to me, you are honoured in my sight, and I love you." Now, I must have read that verse 100 times, and I've read it on a slide just like this, at a place called Harm Hill in Cirencester. I was there for a day of reflection, and I just burst into tears, because I suddenly got that actually I'm precious, and I'm loved. And I'm honoured. And that's the first time I really got it. And I just burst into tears. You know, God's overriding attitude towards us is that we are loved, we are precious, and we are honoured. I want you to understand that. I want you to hear that today. You're loved, you're precious, and you're honoured. Right where you are now. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of your positions, whatever it is, right this second, God looks at you and says, "You're loved, you're honoured, and you're precious." Now, when I got that, that means I have to then deal with other people in a much different way. Because if I accept God says that for me, I then have to accept He says that for Ali, and for Matt, and for Adam, and for everybody else in the room. Isn't that right? If I accept it for myself, I have to then accept that God says that to you and me. You know, God isn't rolling out some pat phrase there. Within that small verse is a huge mandate of how we treat other people. Because once we fully accept and appreciate how God views me, surely that changes how I view you. Let me explain. How can we not love what God loves? Is that there's a thing that went around a little while ago? We should weep for the things that make Jesus weep. Do you remember that? We should love the things that God loves. God loves you. How can we devalue what God values. How can I say you're any less than me? Because God values you. You are precious. You are honoured. So often, don't we see in the media, in the social media, has come all up with this, this poor young girl who lost her life. We totally devalue people. It's almost crept in the way that we greet people. Oh, how are you? Oh, that's an English word. It's so easy to be negative about people than rather than being positive. How on earth, in good conscience, can we devalue anything that God values? And how can we also dishonour those things that God dishonours? Is it easy? No. Sometimes it takes all our moral fibre to do it. Sometimes we rebel against it, sometimes we'll embrace it. But it should have an effect on how we deal with our people every single day. So when someone comes in front of you, it's easy to think, oh, it's him again. Oh, no. Instead of saying, you're precious, you're honoured, your love. If that's the only bit of responsibility you ever take in your life, that's the best one to take, isn't it? So then, next slide. How do we act as responsible people? Next slide shows Ephesians 4. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Sometimes life, habits, preconceptions get in the way. We need to get rid of all the rubbish that's in our lives, all the negative attitudes, all the rubbish, and just get rid of it. I've shared before that some of my relationships haven't ended well. As I came here as a church 3 years ago when we were at the school, I sat there filled with bitterness, filled with rage, filled with anger, filled with harsh words. I wasn't playing anymore. What did it ever accomplish? All it did was make me miserable. Okay, more miserable than I usually am. It sapped my energy, it made me reclusive, it stopped me from being useful, and stopped me from doing the very things that I love to do. So we need to chuck all those horrible things out of our lives. You might need help. I certainly did. We won't have to have honest conversations, but we need to get that negativity out of our lives gone. Because we need to concentrate on being kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. And that is really hard, isn't it? But we need to get it done. Trust me, you can't live a fulfilled life when you're burning with anger and you hate people. Trust me, I've tried it, and it doesn't work. I was wondering how to wrap this up. And I found, well, I didn't find it because it was always there. I found this great verse in 1 Thessalonians. I read it from the Message Bible. Have you ever read the Message Bible? Mm-hmm. Brilliant! Even for an old brethren like me, it was brilliant. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, says this: get along amongst yourselves. Isn't that brilliant? Each of you doing your part. My counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encouraging, we'll be talking about that in a minute. Gently encouraging the stragglers, and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each other, attentive to the individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, that you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other. and always do your best to bring it out. So what can we learn from that verse to mull over through the week? Well, we know that in the grand scheme of things... No, I don't either. Oh dear. You don't plan that, don't you, really? So in the great scheme of things, we know that we all have to play our part, don't we? To make our community work, to make our church work, we all have to play our part. To make our families work, we all have to play our part. You know, we've been created to be unique individuals with differing skills and abilities, with different outlooks, and different emotional and physical strengths. And it's important that we all play our individual part that God has set out for us to play. If you watch the film Ants, there's a character called Z, who feels that he is different from the rest. He doesn't want to do the same thing at the same time, in the same way, and act the same. He wants to rebel, and he has differing amounts of success. Go and watch it this afternoon, brilliant film. We aren't living in the ant world. God has made us both different, and at the same time, He's made us to focus on community. Hasn't He? Yes? Yes. He's made us part of community. We should be there supporting one another. We are encouraged to bear with those who struggle, and reach out and to support those who are worn out and tired. In this self-centric society, it's about me getting on, and if you can't keep up, well, that's your fault. Instead, it's about you walking with somebody. And when they're walking a bit slower, you walk a bit slower. You put your arm in their arm. You don't drag them along, you walk at their pace. Because some will be slower at things than you are. We're to be patient with each other, focused on each other. When I say being patient with each other, when you wake up in the morning, it's 8:30, because you haven't put the alarm on, it's easy not to be patient, isn't it? Look for the best in each other. And be careful when you get on each other's nerves, because we will. Because we're human beings. Not to snap at each other. I like that, that it's in there. Because it's easy, isn't it, to be snappy and critical of other people. Look for the best in each other. Always do your best to bring it out. Then there's this great phrase, of course, warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Interesting phrase, that. It's obviously there because it needs to be addressed, but here's the rub. How can you address it without causing hurt and bad feeling? Steve, you need to step up, mate. Doesn't work well, does it? We have to remember that everything that everybody do is up front. People do things behind the scenes that we don't even see. Effectively, quietly, and conscientiously. I remember when I worked with London City Mission, there was a lady called Mrs. Matteo. She was a Greek Cypriot who seemed a million years old. She was 4 foot nothing and always wore black. And she made strong, black, syrupy coffee in the tiniest little cups you ever had saw. Now, she didn't preach. She didn't go door to door. She didn't shop for anybody. She didn't need a small group, but she did make strong, syrupy, black coffee in the tiniest of cups. And after visiting with her for half an hour, you felt you could battle giants. You really could. You see, our job isn't to decide who is working hard and who is not. Our job, in anything that you have responsibility over, and here's the thing for us to take away this week, our job is to bear with one another, and see the best in each other, and find the best way to bring that out. And that's all I've got to say on responsibility. It isn't about being in charge, it isn't about I'm the boss. It's about how can I work with you in a caring, in a humble way. Responsibility isn't just the doing. That's a whole other subject, so I need to live out of that, Steve. It's a whole other subject. It's about the caring. It's about showing people that they are valued. It's about saying, let me help you. That looks a heavy load. And it even worked for Jesus, doesn't it? He was walking down that road with that heavy load, Simon steps up. May not have been a voluntary action. Let me help you carry that load. I always think about that. And that's what we should do for you and I. Let me help you carry that load. Father, you're going to lead us in another song.